the concept is this idea that should the Kiwis get their own origin like setup where they have a north versus south, if you could get that something like that off the ground, and then at the end of that have a test series where those same players are going head to head. That excites me. I can't see any NRL fan who's not getting excited about that.
And to your point, to have a North v South would just be huge. The ratings would be off the chart. Wouldn't matter whether they played it on the moon.
Mate, Origin is done. Plenty happening in NRL. We've got the Jerome Luai story. What else we got, Steve?
Mate, we look at the ladder and how it sits after 17 rounds and make some predictions. And we see if Hawke wants to apologise to the second person in 2 weeks in a row.
Mate, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm looking forward to finding out what that's all about. As you know, I'm happy to apologise if I'm wrong. Yeah, a bit curious now. Maybe we dive into that early. All right, a few games from the weekend. We won't go through the whole lot, but the Jerome Luai story is all the talk.
Yep.
Friday night, I actually don't think they were horrible. They probably missed the jump a couple of times. They didn't find touch when they got a penalty, when they defended really well, and then they let in another try on the back end of that. And they had moments there, particularly physically up front where they competed, but they just self-imploded. And I wonder if that is that big story getting to them. I don't know if you saw much of that game, mate, on the Friday.
Yeah, I did, mate. It was a real interesting one. Look, for mine, you can't take it away from the Warriors. I thought the Warriors were really, really strong. They had a couple of their middles back that they'd sorely missed over the last couple of weeks, and they were near full strength and looked quite sharp. But to your point, the Tigers, it's going to be the story coming in. Unfortunately, I can't see them winning many more games. We put the line through them a week or so back, and their draw's not much better. I've probably only got them winning one or two more games coming in, and the press is just going to continue to grow. Obviously, Jerome's father's been on social media. That's the biggest story of late. And there's push now that the relationship between him and Benji isn't real good. Now, whether that's just typical journalist made up crap or whether there's something to it or not, unfortunately, it's just going to get louder and louder on the back of those wins. And they started the season so strongly and gave the fans hope that 2026 could have been the year to see them reach the top eight. It just doesn't look like happening. And this has the potential to really divide the playing group for mine, mate.
Absolutely. What's his old man said?
There was just a comment. It was only an emoji, and I'm a little bit too old for emojis, so we're not exactly sure what it meant, but there was talk around Benji from one of the journalists, him and Benji's relationship being strained now on the back of the change to the PNG Hunters. And he's placed an emoji on that. So regardless of, where he sits on the whole thing, it's just another thing to just keep it on the front page and the back page of the papers. They'll be talking about it on every magazine show that there is. So it's just disappointing for the Tigers fans. There was genuine hope halfway through this season that they were flying high and expected to win. And the wheels have just come off. Whether it's we want to point to this or not, the reality is that the timing, it started happening around that time. And they've lost some players with injury. We all know Dewey's been out for a while. We've lost Twal, Jerome himself, Taylor May currently. Appy's been out. So don't get me wrong, they've had some big-name players. And unfortunately, with the Tigers' depth, they need their top 17 every single week. But it's just sort of derailed when he signed with the Hunters. And Benji was all about everyone being rowing in the same direction, everyone fighting in the one team. And it just has fallen apart since then. So this isn't the last we're going to see or hear of this. This is going to play out for the remainder of the season, which is disappointing for the fans. The fans have had enough off-field drama for the Tigers. They just want to get on with winning some games and trying to watch and support a team that they're proud of.
Yeah, I think you're right in that they have had a bit go against them in terms of injuries, but there have been teams that have had far worse in terms of that. I think you have nailed it, though. They're a team that don't have a great deal of depth and they need to be full strength. I don't know what you think about this. We talked about this last week on Wednesday, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure that Okay, it's probably a bust in terms of results for the impact of Luai, but I think we'll see the fruits of what he's brought to that club down the track. And everything that he's instilled in them that he's brought from Penrith, the change in attitude, I think we saw that at the start of the year. They've probably fallen in a bit of a hole since he announced he was going to the Chiefs, and they have had some pretty key injuries. But I think that you've seen some of those younger Islander players in particular really, really come on in leaps and bounds this year. Now, obviously, Benji's got a fair bit to do with that, but anyone who's played any sport knows that you need on-field leaders who can really hit home the messages that the coach is delivering. And I reckon that that's probably what has had a big impact for them. And I think football's more than just results in terms of when you're trying to build something. And they are building, and they've pretty much come from ground zero, despite the fact they've been rebuilding for 15 years. And I think that you will see the fruits of that. I do, as you, I feel for the fans. Like, no one likes their team to be struggling for so long, and they've really battled. They got a premiership in 2005, and I think I've said this on the pod previously. I remember a mate of mine saying when they won the comp, he goes, "It was nice," he said, "but you know what? I would trade that for having my team make the eight every year." He goes,
Yeah.
"Because as good as that year was, I'm just sick of just every year ending the same way." Now, I'm sure the Para fans who have had 40 years without a premiership might disagree, but it's always grass is always greener, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that, the impact he's had beyond just raw results.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And ultimately, that was the reason that, the likes of himself and Appy were signed at the Tigers. And we've seen it through other clubs that they've go after some experience to try and help with that rebuild. And if we're led to believe what's in the media, and again, we won't know until it plays out, but the word is that they're going to use his salary cap to spread out and secure some of this young talent coming through. The Tigers, not only the nursery out west of Sydney with Campbelltown, but they've done a hell of a lot in the recruitment phase up here on the Gold Coast as well, through Logan. So they're building, but it just never eventuates. So if they're going to use the money for that, and they're going to keep these juniors that they've been developing and keep some of these future stars, then I don't mind the idea. But ultimately, the Tigers of continuing to rebuild and continuing to rebuild, it must be so frustrating. I know here we are, Para and Dragons fans, and we're, in a similar boat over the last few years. But yeah, so hopefully, if that is the reason why, hopefully this can, peter out in the media, and some of those local juniors that have been developing come through. But I just got a sneaking suspicion that this is going to continue to play out in the media. Benji's got to put a stop to it really quick with a press conference, get on top of it, like he did really well when he first signed with the Hunters. But yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to continue to hear this for a few weeks to come, mate.
Yeah, and the Dragons took over as the whipping boys for the media when Flanagan was there and they were battling. They've been given a reprieve with Young there and doing a pretty good job. But it puts it a lot back on the Tigers with all of this, and of course the potential new home for Luai Para, who will become the story as well. Like, we had this conversation before earlier today, and my first reaction is like, what, seriously, what are they thinking? It seems crazy after especially how we've gone with Pezza. I didn't like the deal then. I think I tried to talk myself into it being a good deal when you think about the reality. Okay, well, it's definitely happening. Let's see if we can find some positives, but it's proven to be an absolute bust for that deal. The only thing that I'm trying to cling to at the moment is what I was talking about before, and what we talked about last week is the impact of Luai as a human, and the impact that he's had around the group in terms of life lessons and some of those Islander players. This is what's necessary. He's clearly got that success, the success principles he's learned from Penrith. He knows what it's like to get success and to really put that level of training in and do those things beyond just the everyday. So that's what I'm clinging to. The Para have got a young half that has had big raps on him. He's also from a similar background. What's his name now? That what his name? Lorenzo Talatano. So That's my one hope, is that it can have a positive impact on some of those young guys coming through. But other than that, like, I'm battling with it. There are more whispers that it's a stopgap while we go for Burton for 2028. But again, we come back to the end of last year when they said they're going to sit Brown out so they can go youth and go local and retain those youngsters. And now we seem to be heading in a completely different direction. What we talked about with Laurie Daly was that he wasn't giving us clarity. It's the same feeling at Parra at the moment. There's no clarity. No, none of the fans seem to know what they're trying to do, and it's not a good look.
Yeah. Look, I agree. You know, Nathan Hindmarsh, a Parramatta great, come out and made a really good point. Parra's probably going to have to spend anywhere from 800 to a million just for the one season. For me, this isn't like the Roosters signing Cooper Cronk or Daly Cherry Evans for a 1 or 2 year stint, hoping to be the final piece in the puzzle to win a comp. You know, they're going to spend, you know, close to $1 million for one season just to give their young rookie seven a little bit of more time to develop. So for me, I would have liked to, if I was Parramatta, to sign some players that even if you had got two really solid first graders to be able to build around, I think would have been a better play. But look, at the end of the day, you know, you talk about attention. Rolls hasn't really hit season two with fireworks. You know, the Parra, for mine, all the injuries aside, and you'll see a better Parramatta next year when some of these young fellas are going into their second and third year of first grade. But to me, the spotlight, he's avoided it quite well, Riles. He's clearly got some points in the media with some of those journalists because the spotlight hasn't been on him. But yeah, for me, I don't like the idea of him going to Parramatta for the development and for the future, regardless of what he can or can't do off the field for them. I don't think one season's long enough, and the media circus is going to follow him, right? There's no doubt that it's always going to be about PNG the year after. It's always going to be about that, you know, he wasn't successful at the Tigers, at least on the points table. So I don't like it for Parramatta, but at the end of the day, it looks like it's all but signed, sealed and delivered for Jerome to head to the Eels.
Yep. And what you said there about the Tigers using their money to top up some of those young guys who they want to retain, that was something that Hindy also said. He goes, use that money to look after these youngsters that you say that you're bringing through. We're battling, but there's lots of good signs from some of those young fellas that we have promoted who were in their first season or had only played a handful of games last year. But, man, what they can do with that money elsewhere.
Yeah, there's no doubt with the Perth Bears next year, PNG Hunters the year after, any recruitment guy around the or girl around the NRL is looking for that next tier. So that gun 18, 19-year-old that might be playing flag, might be playing cup level, that they can secure on an NRL deal. So anyone who's got some gun youngsters coming through, they need to protect them and sign them. And to your point with Parramatta, I would rather see that money go to spread out amongst, you know, seven or eight young fellas coming through to really make sure that you've secured them for the future and you've set yourself up for the next 4 or 5 years. So it would be interesting to see how it plays out. But yeah, I genuinely feel for the Tigers fans. It's a bit hard for them, I think.
It is. It is. All right, let's move past the Tigers. Now, we scoffed at Gags for moving the Dolphins out of the power rankings, but did he know something that we didn't?
Well, this is the apology I've been asked to get from you, mate. I had a catch up with Gagan this afternoon, and he said, "Mate, I told you on the power rankings. I told you the Sharks were coming, and Hawks just laughed at me." So he has asked for an official apology, mate. The big man. But yeah, look, he knew what was coming. I think I had a real good catch up with him today about the Sharks specifically, and he's high on them. He probably doesn't have them, you know, on there on grand final day, but certainly with the draw and the way they're playing at the moment, he sees them being a solid top four finisher. And I know we'll get to our predictions later, but he's very high on the Sharks and injury depleted and origin depleted Dolphins, admittedly. The Sharks just blew them off the park, absolutely wiped the floor with them. They copped the first 10 or 15 minutes where the Dolphins did their best, And then from there, it was just an absolute smoke show from the Sharks. So super impressive. Just the way they played. Forget about the board, the scoreboard. You know, the halves, it was the best game I think they've played together. They didn't get in each other's way. They combined really well. Fenua Blake, you know, come back off Origin well. Brayley just keeps getting better and better. So, yeah, I think Gags might be onto something with the mighty Sharkies.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to apologise yet because that remains to be seen because only 2 games ago they got pumped by the Roosters. So there's still that inconsistency and blowing a team off the park who were pretty woeful, let's be honest, and got an apology from the coach afterwards. That's one thing, but let's see how they go against the big boys because they've still got plenty of football. They got the Knights next week, then they've got the Seagulls, the Bunnies, then they get a couple of easier weeks with the Dragons and the Raiders, Titans, Para. So they've got a pretty good run in, and then the Storm. So yeah, they have got a good run in, but we still haven't seen it against the top tier teams. We haven't seen them have that consistency. Plenty of teams have racked up big scores, but then haven't been able to really mix it when the heat's on. So, I'll give it. He did see the future and well done to that, particularly the Dolphins. I don't think anyone else saw that coming. So that's pretty impressive in itself. No. But I'll stop short of an apology at this point. Thank you very much.
Hold firm, mate. Well done.
Exactly. One of those teams that seems to be on a bit of a tear. I did tip them to do this weeks back and they fell in a hole, but they've actually strung something together now, the Raiders. Probably left their run too late to make the top eight, but they absolutely give it to the Dogs, who were pretty disappointing on the weekend. Did you see much of that one?
Yeah, I did, mate, and you've summed it up perfectly. Old Ricky had one of his press conference specials, and what he said was 100% true. They've been missing their middles, and that's really hurt. They also missed Martin on an edge. He just come back and looked like he's an out-and-out first grader. It's quite astounding what he's done in 4 or 5 games of NRL. He was absolutely huge, and he does all the shit stuff, you know, for use of a better term. That kick chase stuff, that first hit up, that you know, chase the ball into the in goal on grubbers, just that stuff that you just really need that, you know, dog of a back rower just to get in there and do. So he was huge. And then having those big three fellas all fit and healthy on the park at once, to your point, I think they're going to go very close, mind you, but I think they're going to be a little bit short on their run. But for mine, the Bulldogs were back to their old days. They just weren't up to it, mate. They were well behind on what they needed to be. They're fighting a couple of injuries. Kickow's still out. Preston's come back, but is a bit short of a run. And Carraz is clearly playing injured. So, they're a bit under strength. Really bad news about poor old Mitch Wood. He finally got a game back in New South Wales Cup and went down injured. Just you feel for a young fella. All those young blokes want to do is just get out and play footy. It doesn't matter at what level. So to see that was heartbreaking for all Bulldogs fans, and you really feel for him. But the Bulldogs for mine, that was more of what I expected. They went on a bit of a run during Origin when they had a few teams who were a little bit depleted. But I think that'll be about it for the Bulldogs. I think there's a couple of wins for them coming home, but I think they're going to be short of the eight.
Yeah. Mitch Woods, mate, give me a crack. I need to speak to his people. That's the sort of stuff that I do, is like to help people with the whatever's going on for them mentally and emotionally, that they keep getting repeat injuries, particularly soft tissue like that. Heartbreaking for the poor kid, and it must just be demoralizing. So I hope he gets good help, and I might see if I can reach around with some of my contacts in the game and see if I can get a conversation with him. A game where, again, probably the scoreboard didn't really reflect. Para were only down 4-0 at halftime, and they defended pretty much that whole first half. Every 50-50 call went against them. It was a bit like the poor old Queenslanders on the Wednesday, and then they just self-imploded. They completed, despite the fact that they were defending nearly the whole half and couldn't get out of their own end, they completed really high in that first half, but same old story. Just couldn't hang on to the ball in the second half and got completely blown away. And And the Roosters, with a lot missing, just a workmanlike performance that will hold them in good stead for the rest of the year.
Yeah, summed it up perfect, mate. DCE was the only spine member left for the Roosters, and a few of the forwards played limited minutes, but just did enough to get it done. You know, great to see Daniel Tupou. He scored three in his 300th. Very humble bloke. I didn't realise everyone was saying it, but even to hear his speech, just nailed it. All right, super professional. So, like, huge congratulations to him. And, yeah, to your point, the Roosters bandwagon just keeps rolling on. I'm pretty sure Tedesco will miss this upcoming week against the Storm because it's 11 inside the 11-day turnaround from Origin. So we'll see what happens tomorrow with Team List Tuesday. But, yeah, the Roosters continue to roll on and they'll keep growing, mate.
Cody Ramsey in the first 20 minutes in particular was just terrorising them. As a Dragons fan, that must be hard for you to watch in a way.
Yeah, yes, it is. But in another way, I'm so happy for him. You know, what he overcome to get back out in the field is just you can't put into words. So, yeah, it was like he had spiders on him, mate. They didn't want to go anywhere near him. But, yeah, look, as a Dragons fan, I'd love to see him have done it at St George, but just to see him out playing rugby league again, mate. You know, we talk about Mitch Woods. What he went through, Cody Ramsey, is you don't wish that on anyone, mate. So I don't think you'll see too many Dragons fans disappointed. I think that'll be cheering him on, mate, like I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're not going to get through all these games, but a good solid win for the Bunnies against the Knights, who I thought would probably get them. Cowboys just keep on cranking out results. Seagulls sort of mini slump continues, and the Storm do just enough against the Titans. Pretty good from the Titans, given where they're sitting on the table, and they just keep fighting. Anything you want to add from those three games, mate?
No, not really, mate. Obviously, that Cowboys Seagulls game, I think, is going to have a huge impact on the final eight. That's you know, when they're playing against each other, and the other obviously South Knights was as well, huge occasion out there for Dry Arrow. But for me, the story of those last three games are the Titans. They got nothing go their way, and they've pushed another heavyweight. You know, I know the Storm are running 10th at the moment, but they've had a real good couple of months and they're playing some good footy. But the Titans pushed them. So it is genuinely positive signs for the Titans. The Titans fans aren't going to be real happy when I give some predictions shortly, but at least they're playing some really good footy and they'll continue to improve under the coaching staff they've got in there at the moment, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're going to get to our ladder predictions shortly, but suddenly for Manly, who are looking like a top four lock not so long ago, have slid out of the eight. And there's a logjam of teams above them who are all playing some pretty decent football. So it is all to play for. Now, something we didn't talk about when we started off the show, but something you and I talked about earlier today, there is a post still in the rounds at the moment from Sports Nation NZ, and of course Facebook's just jumped me out, but effectively the concept is this idea that should the Kiwis get their own Origin like setup where they have a North versus South, they basically, what they were describing is that Auckland in a little way is a bit like Sydney is in New South Wales. Sydney, New South Wales is in Origin. They call us the latte drinkers, which is funny given that's what we usually refer to Melbourne. But basically, you know, the big end of town, and saying that most people outside of Auckland have a bit of a dislike for Auckland in that sense. It's like Auckland and then there's the rest of New Zealand. So they included Auckland and Northland, that whole region, in one team, and then the rest of New Zealand and the other is the South. And just reading out these teams, like we said, these are some cracking teams. We probably, there's a few things in here, including the fact that they've gone with some players who are out with season-ending injuries and may not be in the game next year. And there's a few other things that they've made some assumptions on. But what it says is that the quality of the Kiwis have got at the moment. So I'll just read these teams. So Keanu, this is the North. Keanu Kinney, Ronnie Molitano, Matt Timoko, Ali Luatau, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, Harris Tavida, Dylan Brown, James Fisher Harris, Brandon Smith, Moses Leota, Isaiah Papali'i, Nafahu White, Aaron Clark. So that's the North. Now, that is a red hot side.
Yeah, mate, I was super impressed with that. The more I started reading through the teams, the more I got excited. Read out the South one, mate, while we're... Yeah.
So if we get to the South team, again, equally exciting. Kalen Ponga, DWZ. Now, they've made some assumption, bringing back Joey Manu to league, but why not? Maybe he would for something like this. Casey McLean, Asako, Tamari Martin, Jerome Hughes, Tanistoa Smith, Jeremy Marshall King, Xavier Willison, Britton Nicara, Jordan Ricci, Joseph Tarpany. What, mate? They are two, like, can you imagine those two teams going against each other? That we would pay to see.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Look, there's no doubt that there'll be some changes to the new TV rights with the timings around Origin. I don't think the current format will stick. And if they do change it to 3 weeks in a row, they're going to need some other content. And that game would be just as heavily watched for mine as State of Origin. There's obviously a huge support for the Warriors everywhere you go, whether not just in New Zealand, but all over Australia, wherever they play, even the Vegas contingent. So that would be that'd be a sellout, and the ratings for mine would be massive. So you know, red hot players, and they did name those players, every one of them had put that jersey on and played with as much pride as New South Wales and Queensland. So I would genuinely love to see that game played. So hopefully the NRL and the New Zealand Rugby League could start putting something like that together if the timings and the schedule worked out. I'd be front row centre. They would bash the tripe out of each other, mate.
Absolutely. And if we did the reciprocal, Origin's going to New Zealand next year, which the reciprocal, you imagine how many Kiwi fans, see how many Waratahs, Waz fans, how many Warriors fans, even just at Campbelltown on Friday night, it was like a Warriors home game, as it seems to be in so many of their games in Australia. You imagine the fans over here would embrace that like they have with all of like the Islander games over here. If we get to a 20-team comp, which it seems to be where they're heading, you play 19 rounds, you have a rep weekend where you've got Origin, you've got that game, and you can play that spread out, plus the Pacific Nations test matches, that's suddenly got a very nice look to it. We've also missed some players. In the comments, they mentioned Phoenix Crossland, Seb Chris, Scott Sorensen, and I'm sure there's many more that we have forgotten. But and that's just the ones that are sort of playing at that top level. The whole NRL is sprinkled with young fellas who could represent the Kiwis as well. And I think it really is something that could build the game over there. And I think we'd almost be getting to the point where it would make that test series something that we would actually have on par with Origin. At the moment, I think most footy fans would say, well, obviously the international is the pinnacle for the players. For the fans, it's generally Origin is the one we care more about and get far more engrossed in. But if you could get something like that off the ground and then at the end of that have a test series where those same players are going head to head, that excites me. I can't see any NRL fan who's not getting excited about that.
Yeah, no, spot on, mate. The 20th team will either come from the Southern Island or the Western Corridor up here in Brisbane, and I would be massive to give it to the Southern Island of New Zealand. And to your point, to have a North v South would just be huge. The ratings would be off the chart. Wouldn't matter whether they played it on the moon, they'd get a full house. So I think that's big. To your point around what could happen in a rep window, I think you'll see an under-20s or an under-21 comp come into the NRL, and I think that'll give them the profile that when they go and play an under-20s Origin, that you'll know all the players, they'll start to get a following as well. So there's just so many opportunities that the NRL can look at with this next TV rights. And to your point with the 20 teams and having 19 rounds, it changes the amount of the players are playing. It evens out the draw. We play everyone once. There's just a lot more common sense to it as well, mate. So, I can't see how that would be anything other than an absolute raging success.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, actually, such a great concept and exciting to even just think about. Okay, let's get into our top eight predictions. Now, my NRL app's just shit itself. Typical of our personalities, you've gone and done all the data analysis and gone through your ladder predictor, whereas I'm just going more for for a gut feel on this. And based on how my tipping's been going, that's probably not the right approach. But anyway, here we are. So top eight, minor premiers, mate. Who you got?
Yeah, I've got the Panthers, mate. To your point, I did the old ladder predictor, but there's not going to be too many calling me Nostradamus for that. They're already 4 points ahead, and I've got them, the Warriors, closing the gap, truth be told. I've got I got the Panthers, mate, well clear. I think they're going to come out of Origin really well. They could rest a couple here or there tactically, but I think they're just going to continue to charge on, mate. I can't see the Warriors catching them for minor premiers for me. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm the same. I just think that they we've talked about it throughout the year, how in previous years they haven't necessarily blown the rest of the comp out of the water. They've been in that top two, but this year they've been able to rest more of their players through Origin without having to worry about results. There's even like heading into that last round, they won't have to worry about that. They've still got enough there in the tank. The only thing that might change things, and this there seems to have been a real change in the game. We talked about new age NRL and the speed of the game at the start of the year, but it seems to have really come back to what we saw last year. And to me, it's no coincidence that we've seen turnaround in fortunes for some of those teams, like Melbourne and Raiders starting to come back. The Dogs had a bit of a revival, and then some of those other teams that really thrived in the fast pace are coming off the gas a little bit. The Panthers were absolutely flying at the start of the year with how the game was. While they have, it has been Origin period, and as they've always got players out, but they probably haven't been as impressive in the recent month or so. That's the only I could see stopping them, is the fact that the game has changed a little bit, and maybe some of these teams with bigger packs and less speed out wide might come back into it. But otherwise, yeah, I can't see anyone else getting over the top of them at this point. Okay, who in the current top eight do you see missing the top
So
eight of the world?
this is where the old ladder predictor throws out a very interesting one, mate. So all on equal points, I've got Manly, South and Storm to sit in that eighth spot. So that's all going to come down to for and against. And they play against each other. So Storm play South, Manly play Storm. So they're two really massive games that are going to decide for mine. Who falls into that eighth spot? So, mate, I've got the Rabbitohs missing out on for and against. I think that's where it's just going to lob. But, mate, those two games that Melbourne are playing in both, that's going to be the be all and end all. If I've got Melbourne winning them both, just on current form, I like them both better a little bit at the moment. But if one of those teams knock Melbourne over, then they're going to lock their spot into the top eight for the back end of the season, mate.
Yeah, and I'd be pretty much going the same way. I do think Manly will do enough to make it, and I'd see the Bunnies falling out the back door, but they get Latrell back, they get a couple of other guys back. Anything's possible. If you look at the bottom end of the eight at the moment, you've got Bunnies, Dolphins, Cowboys. Well, I think most of us thought, and I still think, the Dolphins will still be in the eight and still contesting for that last top four spot. I think the Knights are going too good to not be there. I think the Cowboys are showing enough that they will scrape in, and I just think the Seagulls with a four against a 132, that could be the crucial thing that keeps them in the eight.
Yeah, big one for the Cowboys, mate. They only leave Queensland once on the run home, and that's to play Parramatta. With all due respects to your mighty Eels, mate, that's their only time they leave Queensland. So admittedly, they've got a trip down to the Gold Coast and a trip down to Suncorp. So they've still got, a couple of hours flight there, don't get me wrong, but they stay in Queensland. So I can really see them charging up the ladder. I've got them finishing as high as equal fifth.
Yeah,
and
wow.
Sixth on for and against. So that's an interesting one, not having to go to Sydney or obviously Melbourne and NZ, mate.
It is. And the other crucial thing with the Cowboys is the great man Tom Dearden will be back, if not this week, then definitely the week after. And we all know what a player he is. So for a team that's already heading in the right direction, that's a fair in for them for the rest of the year. Decent draw. Yeah. So might be a few teams that might have left their run a little bit too late there. All right. What else have we got here? Top eight we've done. Top four. We've got, again, that logjam. You would think that the top two, the Panthers and the Wars, are a lock. But who's going to make up those last two spots for you, mate?
Mate, I got it as is right now. I see Sharks and Roosters finishing on the same amount of points. But they so that'll be a for and against situation, which will be really important because, obviously, whoever runs third is going to have to go over to New Zealand if we finish it, how I predict. And whoever runs fourth has got to come up against Penrith. So either way, it's not going to be pleasant. Warriors and Penrith do play against each other, which will be a monster game. I cannot wait for that in round 23. That'll have a bearing. I've got the Warriors winning that over in New Zealand. If they don't, then all three of those teams for mine finish on 42 points, and then it really does come down to for and against, which the Warriors still have a much better than the other two. But I think those positions are going to be for and against. But I've got quite a gap, mate. I've got that 42 and then the Dolphins and Cowboys on 36, running fifth and sixth to finish the season. So I think those four teams are going to show their class at the back end and just stretch that gap between fourth and fifth for mine.
If the Roosters do, in fact, do that, then it will say that they are primed to actually compete for this thing because they've got the Storm, the Knights, the Cowboys, the Dogs, the Panthers, throw the Tigers in there, and they've also got the Dolphins and the Bunnies. So that is a fairly tough run home. If they can win a big chunk of those, particularly teams where they've struggled for the last 5 to 10 years, in particular the Storm and the Panthers, well, then you like to say that you'd be spot on, but I just haven't seen enough from them. Like a bit like the Sharks, they've been inconsistent, and they don't sit in that same conversation as the top two. And I had them at the start of the year to finish top. I'm not going to get off them now, but I'm not as confident that they're going to finish in that top spot in that top four. And begrudgingly, I'm going to have to admit that the Sharks are probably going to make the top four as well, because they seem to be peaking. The way the game's being played now, less restarts, less penalties. They got a big pack who are really coming into their own. You've got Brayley off the back of Origin. He's going to be an even better player, which is a scary prospect, as they always are. Nicker are the same. For Noah Blake, they've got a few guys there who are going to come back from Origin, and everyone says that players come back better players, more confident that they've played in that arena. It certainly sets them up for a good run home. So I think you might be right, mate, as is, which will make for an absolute ripping first week of the finals as well.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Huge, huge.
Okay. What else have we got? I think the only other thing is a few more predictions. Dally M winner. Cleary with the year that he's had, and this year, first year in a long time that he hasn't had extensive injuries, you think that is a lock, which will be his first Dally M medal.
Yeah, I've got the Clearys doing the double, mate. I've got Nathan Dally M winner, and I think he'll do an absolute leg in the air. Injury is going to be the only thing that's going to knock him over. As we said, when it went behind closed doors, we spoke about it on Monday, couple of them that were chasing him have had injuries since as well. And I just think Penrith are going to just keep rolling. So for me, he's going to be the clear winner. And I actually think on the back of last year, it's one thing to say Penrith have been doing it. They just keep losing players. The back of last year, they didn't perform real well. But Ivan Cleary's just got these guys up from round one this year. And it's just been a super impressive performance. So, you know, we spoke about them losing their hooker, Mitch Kenny, for huge chunks of the season. And I genuinely put down their, you know, middle of the form. You know, they haven't been bad, but I genuinely put it down there to Mitch Kenny, who'll be back. But I think Cleary's done a huge job. For mine, Andrew Webster and Christian Wolf are going to be very, very close to that. I think Webster just keeps getting better. And I think Wolf has done an exceptionally good job. I think the Dolphins have pitted off a little bit. Obviously, Katoa's out. They've lost a couple. I still think they're going to be more than enough points to make the semi-final. So while I've got Ivan, there's certainly a case for Andrew Webster and Christian Wolf for Coach of the Year for mine.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I hope Cleary does get it. You think about in all those premiership years, he didn't win Coach of the Year, which seems crazy, but it goes that those decisions are made, those votes are in before the final series starts. He's won it before back in 2020 when he led into a minor premiership, but then they got beat in the grand final. And actually, just looking here, this doesn't seem right, but claimed it in 2014, early years of the Panthers. You know, the other person who I think, if he can really get his team to finish the year strongly, Justin Holbrook, given where they came from last year and where he's taken them with a roster that's not massively different, that's a super impressive performance. But to me, you can't just keep rewarding the team, the coach that brings a team from bottom to top and see improvement. You want to reward the person who's just had excellence for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And for mine, it's just got to go to Ivan Cleary.
Yep, you certainly will not get an argument. I think we've mentioned three absolute great shouts with what they've been able to do performance-wise this year. Obviously, even the likes of Todd Payton, mate, I think the Cowboys on that run home is going to continue to charge forward. But, yeah, for mine, Cleary's a standout winner for me.
What about the premiership? We've talked about top eight and minor premiers, but can you see anyone knocking over the Panthers?
Well, mate, we mentioned the round 23 game, Warriors at home against the Panthers. I think that is going to be absolutely vital for the Warriors. If they get that win, then they're guaranteed the second spot. And then that means all roads to Homebush have to go through Auckland, mate. So someone's going to have to go over there and beat them. And I just can't see that happening. It will be packed off to the rafters. That will be loud and it will be very, very confrontational. So if Warriors can knock Penrith over, which I've got them doing at this stage, fully fit in round 23, I think they come second. And I think it's a Penrith Warriors grand final. I can't see anyone going over there to the point where I think the Roosters and the Sharks are going to find it really difficult the second week of the semis coming up against them. You know, Will, our stats man, has mentioned how hard it is to play Penrith and Warriors and back up the next week. I think if they come first and second, I think the Roosters and the Sharks are going to have a real fight in their hands week two of the semis to get another win. I can see someone in that bottom eight knocking them over and getting into a grand final qualifier. So that game's vital. But for me, Penrith Warriors have been the best two teams through the first 17 weeks. And I've got nothing to try and change my mind on that.
Yeah, agree. Will is really backing up what you've been talking about all year, which is the teams that after they play Penrith in particular, but as it turns out, the Warriors as well, have really struggled the next week. So those two teams that finish third and fourth are going to want to win their first week of the semis, which is a tough gig in itself. Because otherwise the next week, yeah, there's every chance there'll be a few going out in straight sets. And if that happens to the Sharks, I'll be on the phone to you to get an apology back from Gags.
Yeah, that has happened to the Sharks a couple of times in years gone by. So yeah, there will be pressure on the Sharks. So it's really interesting things to play out. There's a lot of games coming up that are going to have huge inputs into top four and then the top eight. So, that round 23 game, I cannot wait for it. It'll be a cracking game of footy.
Oh, absolutely. And then you think about just the top eight itself. It's not like there's – like at one point we thought maybe that the Dolphins were going to be a lock in the top four and they're going to be competing with those top two. But really – the top two are sort of stretched out, but then two through eight, you could make an argument for any one of those. It once it comes to a semi-final game, there's going to be some absolute cracking games in those second and third weeks.
Oh, 100%, mate. Well, we've talked even today, Cowboys 8, Manly 9, Storm 10. I'm sure there's some Bulldogs and Raiders fans out there still hoping for some games to go their way. So this game's nowhere near, this season's nowhere near being decided. And even we're talking about Panthers and Warriors being runaway successes. Obviously, the Warriors, with a couple of their middles out, have still been winning games, but haven't been as impressive. So they get a couple of injuries. Fisher-Harris goes down as an example. It changes everything. And then obviously with Penrith, they lose Cleary or Yeo. Maybe Edwards, he has a huge impact at the back. Kenny doesn't quite come back right. Who knows? So while I'm pretty convinced Penrith will play Warriors in the grand final and the Panthers will get it done, this is still a long way to go, mate. And anything could genuinely happen over the next couple of months of footy.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the Warriors pack. Got to mention Lekahalasema in the first half in particular against the Tigers. Mate, he's frightening. He at one point he got the ball on the wing, and he's quick. He's got footwork, and he's just an absolute beast when he's carrying the football. What a player! And he's only a kid.
They seem to be the young fellas for the Warriors just seem to be getting bigger and stronger and better and faster and all the words you can use every year. It's unbelievable to watch, truth to be told. So they've still got a lot of years ahead of them. Whether this is the year for them or not, and it may very well be, they've got a huge future ahead of them, the Warriors. With the right coach in place, with Andrew Webster, they're going to be a juggernaut for many years to come.
Absolutely. And just one thought on the coach of the year. There's so many contenders. What about Kieran Foran? What he's done, because remember, he started round four from where they were, and you had them as wooden spooners, and let's be honest, they were playing like it. Mate, the turnaround he's created there, impressive. Probably not enough to get him coach of the year, but yeah, some impressive performances from the blokes carrying the clipboards. I reckon that just about covers us for today, mate. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
No, mate. I think, we've got some exciting footy to come up. Obviously, Wednesday's show, we'll talk about their team list in the upcoming round. We'll get stuck into some more really important games for finals contentions, mate.
Yep, looking forward to it, mate. All right. Enjoy the rest of your week, everyone. And as we've talked about before, make sure you pass this on to someone else who hasn't heard from us, and the alternative voice to the agenda-driven guys that you see on mainstream, and just a couple of average blokes talking footy on the couch.
Cheers, all.